How you doing today, tonight, whenever you're seeing this? Man, welcome to the Bernie Miklos Show here on YouTube today, on this Tuesday. I'm recording this. It's just short of 5 p.m., later than I wanted to do this. I apologize for the delay. I try to be more consistent on, my video times when they drop, when I put them online at YouTube. But sometimes I get headaches and it doesn't work out. Oh, when I say I get headaches, my health is fine. But today I had a massive headache. And I put on my lab coat to do research because I was trying to solve the mystery of Nolan Gorman. And actually, there's no mystery, but there's just so much information. There's just so much to try to get my head aligned with his performance and what's most important. And the thing of it is, what I found out after putting myself through the ringer and getting a massive headache, I found out it's probably the stuff we all expect to know or to learn in terms of when Gorman is really bad, what's going on? When he's pretty good or really good, well, what's responsible for making that happen? I wore my Babe Ruth St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys cap. That was his high school team when his father put the wayward young Babe, who was running the streets and being a bad, bad kid, he sent him over to St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys, and Babe turned everything around. Next thing you know, he's not too long after that, he's hitting home runs for the Yankees. Well, the Red Sox, then the Yankees. So what would Babe say about Nolan Gorman? If Babe could just speak to Nolan Gorman, you know, Babe, left-handed power hitter, and I ain't saying Gorman is Babe Ruth, but I'm just saying, you know, what advice would he give Nolan, a young Nolan Gorman? I don't know. But I thought the hat was appropriate to wear on this one. So where do I start? Headaches. Where do I start? What I want to know, is where Nolan Gorman is going to go. Let me start with this. He was on a really positive track from the start of the 2023 season up until, what was it? Up until June 4th of last season. I mean, June 4th of last season for the season, he was slugging .508. And he was looking, you know, really, really good. And then he just kind of fell apart. I mean, he fell apart in a way that was really the worst phase of his career, where he hit 170. This is from June 5th to the end of the season. He hit 170. He slugged only .291. He had 5 home runs, hitting one every 37 at-bats. 40% strikeout rate, very low walk rate, and he was basically using weighted runs created. Plus, he was 57% below average offensively, 57% below average, the league average. Now, before that, as I said, from the start of 2023 through June 4th of last season, he was in a pretty good spot. You know, his on-base percentage was .325. He was drawing walks. He slugged .487. Had 41 homers and 589 at-bats. That computes to a home run every 14 at-bats. And he was 21% above average. So he goes from an entire season plus, let's call it, the first 2 months of 2024, and he's on a really positive track. And then it just falls apart. And they had to send him down to Memphis. I get confused because, listen, I know that controlling the strike zone, plate discipline, lack of plate discipline, I know that's the thing that always seems to get him, obviously. But when he had it under control, when he was moving in a good direction, and by the way, he was still striking out a lot, even when he was going through that great run. But the strikeout rate was lower. It was lower, but more importantly, he was walking more, which tells us and shows us that what he was doing, it was not chasing so many pitches out of the strike zone. And the fact that he wasn't getting himself out by chasing pitches out of the zone so often, it enabled him, you know, to have a higher contact rate, put the bat on the ball, more pitches in the strike zone, and good things happened, even with too many strikeouts. He did so much damage that the strikeouts were okay because he offset it by, you know, really ripping some bombs and creating all kinds of ruckus and making pitchers try to pitch around him and see if he'll chase stuff, and he wasn't chasing, so he would often control the counts. And here's where, you know, I want to give you just a couple of stats. I have a lot to get into today, and I'm going to try not to go on forever because I said I want to do shorter videos. There's a lot to wrap around with this, though, okay? There's a lot. For example, last season when Nolan Gorman got himself ahead in the count, the times he did not chase as many pitches in this outside of the strike zone, he hit .287. That's a hell of an average for him, and his slugging percentage is .543. But when Gorman got behind in the count, a lot of that having to do with chasing balls out of the strike zone, doing the pitchers a favor. So remember I told you, ahead of the count, .287 batting average, .543 slug. When he was behind in the count, a .143 average and a .268 slugging percentage. I mean, these splits, those kind of splits are pretty routine for all hitters, but it's kind of drastic with Gorman. It just shows you the massive difference in his performance when he can just maintain that plate discipline and not chase. And that's what happened. You know, I gave you the start of 2023 all the way up until through June the 4th this past season. And one of the big factors here was that he was, and I got to find it. I got a million notes today. You probably don't want to hear that, but just bear with me. You know, it was a situation where his chase rate went, when he went bad starting June 5th, his chase rate went way up. His swinging strike rate went up. His contact rate went down. It was probably what you would expect to find out, right? This is hardly anything. I'm not reinventing anyone or coming up with scientific theories here. It's pretty basic. It's always been this way. You know, plate discipline is huge in Major League Baseball, especially in this era. So here's another example of what I'm talking about. I just want to reinforce the point. Last season, when Gorman swung at pitches in the strike zone and he connected with those pitches, he hit .267. He had a .550 slugging percentage and he had 18 home runs. .267, .550 slug, 18 home runs. But when he chased pitches and he wasn't striking out, when he chased pitches and made contact, balls out of the zone, he batted .080. His slugging percentage was .112, and he hit one home run. I mean, this is just such an extreme hitter. Such an extreme hitter. It's almost, and I'm overstating it, but it's almost like he's either really, really good or he's like really, really awful. He doesn't know how to sort of get himself out of those awful ruts before they stretch into a really long spell, a really long period of futility. You know, he doesn't know how to mitigate it. Listen, everybody's going to go through slumps, even Nolan Gorman. And we've seen him sort of pull himself out of it. But last year, once things started to go bad in 2024, he just couldn't, you know, mitigate the circumstances. He just could not find a way to get back to level. And there was no one in the Major League dugout coaching staff who could do a damn thing to help him. He did, after going down to Memphis, and I'm sure it's a tough transition. I'm sure he was demoralized. I don't blame him. Yeah, they started to help him down there. But again, that's why the Cardinals are messed up. They don't know how to fix young players at the Major League level. I'm hoping the new batting coach will, Brant Brown, will have something to do with that. I think, you know, he does have a good track record of helping young hitters. The other thing about Gorman when it comes to his tendencies, his judgment on what to swing at and what not to swing at. Now, let me emphasize here the difference between 2023 and 2024 when it came to what they call meatball pitches. Basically, these are pitches right down the middle. These are pitches that all major league hitters should just jump on and attack and devour and just like, oh, thank you, boom, right? The thing about Gorman, another mystifying thing, in 2023, when a pitcher served him up a meatball, right? He swung at it 90% of the time. But in 2024, when he went bad, Gorman swung at those juicy meatball pitches a little less than 80% of the time. And that's a big deal. So what was he waiting for? What was he looking for? You know, what was it that he thought he was getting? Why can't he? It's easy for me to say, listen, man, hitting is hard. It's easy for all of us to say, but he's watching the pitcher. He's watching it come out of his hand, and he's got to have a sense that it's looking good and it's kind of coming right down the pipe, right? And he just stood there a lot or too often, and he watched. And, you know, Gorman was really, really good in hitting those meatball pitches, right? I had the numbers, and you know, you'll have to trust me for it. They were outstanding. Like, he does tremendous damage when he actually swings at a meatball and makes contact with it. Pardon the cliche, but it's proverbial night and day, right? It really is. Another thing I want to talk about, just I'm trying to identify like exactly what he's got to do here. And can he do it? And can the new batting coach, Brant Brown, help him do it? Brendan Donovan was telling John Dent of MLB.com, you know, he spent some time with Gorman recently. Gorman got married on New Year's Eve, and congratulations. And Donovan was down there, you know, for the wedding. And he was telling John Dent, he said, boy, Gorman, you know, Gorman is just excited. You know, he's working hard. He's excited. He's, you know, he's in a good spot right now. And, you know, he also implied that the new hitting coach was really helping him. It's easy to say that in the offseason, but I still like hearing that Gorman is in a good spot, sort of gathering himself, sort of putting himself back together. I don't know if it'll carry over into real baseball once the regular season begins, but I still would rather hear that than hear something else. Not that Brendan Donovan would say, well, you know, he's really messed up. He's down in the dumps. I get it, right? I get it. So it's okay to be a little skeptical of that. But there's another huge key, and this is a huge, huge key. And I'm going to give you a great, I think, before and after look at Nolan Gorman. You know, in 2023, he had a really good season for a second-year player, right, who was 23 years old. He hit 27 home runs. He had a .487 slugging percentage. He cleared the bar in terms of being above average, the league average offensively. But again, we're talking about a guy who was in his age 23 season. I mean, that's a really good season for that age. So one of the reasons why he was so good better in 2023, when he was a rookie, when he really had his problems in 2022, pitchers were throwing high stuff. They were throwing four-seam fastballs up in the zone. Well, he worked all winter going into 2023 to get a handle on that, and he did. He did a really, really good job. In 2023, now, listen, I hate to give you some wonky stuff here, but all you got to listen to is the bottom line. You know, StatCast has a thing called run value, and basically is how does a hitter perform against every kind of pitch. I'm focusing strictly on the four-seam fastball because it is a humongous difference between 2023 and 24. In 2023, Nolan Gorman had a run value of plus 11. Now, what does that mean? He was tied for 28th among 270 hitters that had saw enough pitches to qualify for, you know, this leaderboard, so to speak. So he was in the top 30 of all major league hitters at hitting fastballs, four-seam fastballs. He had a 261 average and a 500 slugging percentage. That's really good. And he was hitting a lot of stuff that was up in the zone. And I was reading some stuff from Driveline, which is, you know, a really renowned hitting academy or hitting school, pitching school, all that. And they were, you know, a lot of their instructors say, you know, it's always good to swing at those high pitches, because if you do, the high pitches, as opposed to going after stuff really low in the zone, the stuff really low in the zone, if it's got late action, you know, it's basically going to be down by your ankles. But when a pitch is starting to come in high and it looks pretty good, if it's going to drop, unlike the low pitches that drop out of the strike zone, a high pitch, especially a fastball coming at you, if it's got late action that it drops in the zone, well, it's in your wheelhouse, man. And so Gorman seemed to learn from that. He got some good advice and practiced it and followed up on it. And he was one of the best hitters in the majors at attacking four-seam fastballs in 2023. Headache time. I don't understand why his performance against four-seam fastballs just fell apart last year. It's amazing. It's a shame, because he put in all that work and he got so much better, because they thought they could keep getting him out and, you know, messing him up with four-seam fastballs in 2023. And he got the best end of that. He won that fight against the pitchers. But in 2024, remember I told you he was a plus 11 run value against four-seam fastballs in 2023. In 2024, he was a minus 12. So he goes from a plus 3 to a minus 12 rating. And he ranked, instead of ranking tied for 28th in the majors against four-seam fastballs, last season, he ranked number 249 against four-seam fastballs. 249 out of 256 hitters. I mean, how does that happen? I don't. It's the same pitch, right? Maybe bad habits. Maybe chasing stuff. Maybe not swinging at enough of them. I don't know. I don't know. But in 23, he hit 261 and slugged 500 against four-seam fastballs. In 2024, his batting average was 100 points lower, and his slugging percentage was down by 235 points to 265. I mean, he's up there, man. He's on top of it, right? He's on top of it. And then he just falls off the face of the earth on the same pitch a year later. Let me see what else here, because then I want to go into a little bit of a different area. It's all related, trust me. Since Gorman came to the majors, if we look at strikeout rates, he's got the fourth highest strikeout rate among major league hitters, right? Joey Gallo at 41%, Jose Siri at 36%, Patrick Wisdom at 35%, and then Nolan Gorman at 34%. And my question, what I thought is like, okay, what happens when you have a guy, and this is only common, you know, the big time strikeout rates became a thing a while back. It wasn't always like this, as you know. So I thought, well, there's got to be some examples of some hitters who actually overcome that and go on to either have, like, you know, a few or a lot of really good years. The rest of their career really shapes up, and Gorman does have age on his side. And there are some examples, and I would like to tell you those examples if I can find the right sheet. Let me see here. Here we go. Thank you. I'll give you some examples. Doing some research. It took a long time, but I found at least some examples of this. I'm not saying it's all the examples, but I found some with players whose names you would recognize. Ronald Acuña Jr. with the Braves. He lowered his strikeout rate, and everything just kind of clicked in for him, right? Brendan Rodgers out in Colorado, same thing as a rookie, man, big time, big, huge, ugly strikeout rate. He cut way down on it, got it to a reasonable level, and he took off as a hitter. You know who's a good example closer to home? And I know he's a right-handed hitter and he's not a left-handed hitter. You know, Willy Adames, who was kind of a burr, the shortstop for the Brewers, who was kind of a burr on all the teams that the Brewers played against. I like the way he plays. Willy Adames was a strikeout mess early in his career, right? But he started to bring it down, like down, 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 down. It was gradual, right? It was gradual. And by the time he got to last year, when he was, gearing up for his free agency, he brought that thing down to a reasonable level. And he had a really good all-around performance offensively in 2024. And then he cashed in with a huge free agent deal with San Francisco Giants. But that didn't happen from one season to the next. He was gradually improving in that area. He sort of figured it out. And he was a little older than Gorman is now. Like he got on this a little earlier so he could make the improvements slowly, steadily, but surely. So Adames is a great example of someone who conquered this. There are others based on my research. Cody Bellinger as a Dodger. You know, he had a lot of swing and miss, a lot of strikeouts in his game, but worked to smooth that out and lower his swing and miss and his strikeout rate. And then he turned into the National League MVP in 2019. Those improvements directly led to that kind of result. Another one is Matt Olson, Oakland, then Atlanta. A lot of strikeouts early in his career, but he's, again, cut that down. And I'm not saying these guys now strike out 15% of the time. I'm not saying that at all. They still take their cuts because they swing hard and they attack pitches that they should attack. And they still will strike out, you know, based on the old school philosophy of this. You know, the old timers would look at that strikeout rate and say, well, what's so right about that, Bernie? That's lousy. Stan Musial didn't strike out that, you know, that kind of thing. But we know the game's changed. We can't change it. It's evolved. Maybe one day there'll be a different philosophy you'll set in and it'll turn back the clock. But my point is Matt Olson really, really improved cutting down strikeouts and the results. He got the results that he wanted to become a better hitter. I tell you, guy, I'm going to give you an example on the other end of things. A guy who really relapsed after cutting way down on strikeouts, the Chicago White Sox hitter, their center fielder, Lewis Robert Jr. At one point, he had a 32% strikeout rate. And in 2023, the dude hit a bunch of home runs and slugged .657. Okay. That's pretty outstanding. Last year, his strikeout rate went up to over 33%. And all of a sudden, his slugging percentage down to .379. So it's a tough challenge, and there are relapses. Joey Gallo had those ups and downs. He finally basically got beat. You know, he's had, I don't know if he's even still trying to play, but I think he's pretty much packed it in. Jose Siri has never been able to mount the kind of consistency and the consistent power and just becoming the hitter that I think the Tampa Bay Rays, when they got him from Houston in a deal that they envisioned he would become. He just couldn't lick the strikeout problem. I'll give you another example of close to home, okay? And I'm going to try to wrap this up quick. Close to home, and what I mean by that is Patrick Wisdom. The Cardinals drafted him pretty early, way back when, and Patrick Wisdom hit the ball hard when he could make contact. And Patrick Wisdom could hit the ball out of any ballpark, and he could hit it a mile. And the power was abundant. It was obvious, but he had plate discipline issues, and he struggled to make contact and also controlled the strike zone. And Patrick Wisdom gave it a good go. He played briefly for the Cardinals, and then he went, I guess he was down in Texas for a while, but he'd been part of the Cubs for a few years now. And in his seven major league seasons, you know, he slugged 459, which is good, but he could never get better. He could never hit for average. He could never put up a good on-base percentage. He was just one-dimensional because he had a 37% strikeout rate in those seven seasons. And if you look at him and you compare him to Gorman, you know, there's some similarities there, and that does concern me. If you look at their 2024 seasons, there's not a lot of difference. Wisdom in 24 and Gorman in 24. Again, take my word for it. Not a lot of difference. Both had batting averages that just, you know, went down, low on base percentage, way too many strikeouts, which negates some of the home run power they have because they're not making contact as much. Oh, yeah, when they hit it, it goes. But that's not really the point because they don't hit it frequently enough, right? So it's interesting to me, you know, Patrick Wisdom put up a good fight. Good guy, too. But he really worked his tail off. He put up the good fight. But he finally basically said, well, this is not going to happen for me in the major leagues. Dreaming of a payday and all that stuff. He just signed with a team a few weeks ago. He signed, the Cubs designated him for assignment, and Patrick Wisdom signed with a team in Korea. And I'm not saying that Nolan Gorman is headed towards a career in Korea, but what I am saying is that let it be a cautionary tale, because I gave you some good examples of players, hitters who got on top of their strikeout issue and did something about it, and they put themselves on a better track. Some of them just can't do it. Some of them just can't make that fix. Patrick Wisdom is one of them. But we were talking about Patrick Wisdom seven seasons in the major leagues until it was like, didn't quite get there to have that kind of career I wanted. So he signed for a good payday in Korea. Nolan Gorman's going to be going into his fourth season. There's reasons to have some optimism. You know why? Because we saw what he could do from the start of 2023 through early June 2024. He was outstanding, and a lot of it had to do because he controlled the strike zone a lot better than he does when he's really, really bad. He doesn't control the strike zone then. But if this guy can do just a reasonably solid job of controlling the strike zone, man, he can carry an offense. He can be one of the most dangerous and damaging hitters in baseball. And the other thing about that, when he's controlling the strike zone, he draws a lot of walks. And that's really a good thing. See, to me, you can tell about Gorman. Is he drawing walks? Is he chasing pitches out of the zone? If his walk rate is low, we know what's coming. Look out down below, because he's cratering. But when you see that walk rate looking healthy, you know, 10, 11, 12%, you know that up here in the headspace, things are organized really, really well. So that's what I'm going to be looking for in 2025. I, you know, controlling the strike zone, his plate discipline, not chasing as much, attacking more meatball pitches, and just sort of having the confidence as a hitter not to fall apart as soon as things get bad, right? I saw the number, Baseball Reference has like similarity scores where you put in any player that you want, and then down on his record, you got to go way down, you'll see similarity scores. And some of the similarity scores for Gorman for his age, frankly, made no sense. I'm just going to disregard him, because no, Nolan Gorman at age 24 was not Mike Schmidt at age 24. That was one of the age-related similarity scores. And I'm kind of like, what are they? Did they get hacked or something? No. But they have sort of a career similarity score. Like, who does Nolan Gorman most resemble? And you may not have heard of him, even though he was a big leaguer for quite a while. And he didn't distinguish himself. But his number one similarity score is someone, no disrespect meant, named Eric Munson. He played 9 seasons for 4 different teams, most of those seasons were with Detroit. And he ended his major league average 2000, by the way, from 2000 through 2007. He ended his career 9 seasons. Looks more like 8 seasons to me, with a 214 average, 289 on base percentage, 394 slug. My point being, if Gorman can't fix what he's doing, he fixed it once before. He fixed it going into 2023. If he can't get a grasp on this, I could see a scenario where you'll look at his career after 7 or 8 seasons, no matter where he is, and you'll say, yeah, that Eric Munson comp was actually pretty accurate. I hope that's not the case. I want to believe in Nolan Gorman. I really, really do. So he is so important to the Cardinals' future. I don't have to tell you that. And, you know, you can growl and already declare him a massive failure. And, you know, listen, I'm not declaring him anything. I'm just trying to break down what's up with him, what he needs to fix. And when he's going well, what breaks down on him? I'm just providing information about the stuff that has gone into his good phases and his awful phases. Can he find that medium? Can he do that? Can he avoid these extremes? Yeah, we like the extreme highs, but can he avoid the extreme lows that last for way too long? That's going to be the challenge. I'm rooting for him. I really am, because he's an exciting talent. I think he's a good dude. And I hate to put everything on Brant Brown, but I have to think he can do some good work with Nolan Gorman. All right, I'm going to shut up now. I went 31 minutes. I'm trying to keep these things to 20. But listen, if I'm going to work all afternoon looking up all these numbers and give myself a big, nasty headache, well, I'm going to share what I have, or what's the point of doing all that homework, right? All right. I'll be back tomorrow. You guys are great. Thanks for your support of the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Hit the like button, leave your comments. Until next time, thank you.